أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد صدق الله العظيم discussing Luqman Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that certainly we had granted Luqman al-hikmah and that is wisdom but before we come to that there are some important aspects of his life that we just need to understand and realize and perhaps apply it into our own lives and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant us maybe just a glimpse of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him and that will change the entire direction of our lives. It has been narrated and reported that once he was addressing a very huge gathering, large numbers of people used to come to his gathering when a particular shepherd said to Luqman, Luqman, you an ordinary shepherd like me, we used to graze our sheep, our goats in a particular place. And how is it that you have reached this place, this position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you? Now in one narration, Hazrat Luqman responded to him and said that there were two things that I was persistent with, two qualities that I had. And in another narration, there were eight qualities. So the two qualities that I had and by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had loved and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had granted me this hikmah, Allah ta'ala had granted me this wisdom was number one, always I spoke the truth. In other words, whatever the circumstances was, whatever the situation was, I had always spoken the truth. And number two is, I avoided frivolous things. Whether it was useless speech, whether it was frivolous or useful deeds and actions, I avoided it. I was never caught in a situation where I spoke unnecessarily. And secondly, I carried out things that were unnecessary. And the reality is this, that our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also mentioned these two qualities in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot obviously go into all the details, but just for us to have an overview of it. The eight aspects that he had spoken about in another narration is number one, he said, lower your gaze and look after your tongue. Lower your gaze and look after your tongue. Obviously, when there is some person or something that is not permissible for us to see, then lower our gaze. And number two is, always reflect before we speak whatever we have to say. See whether we are speaking the truth. Number two, the words that we utter, let us make better choices of our words. Sometimes the choice of words may be 100% accurate, but just sometimes the tone is the incorrect tone. So we need to think about all those aspects, and it is in this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the spiritual elevation of man. Number two, he said, be content with halal rozi. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has fixed it, but let us look only towards halal, and let our minds not drift towards haram. In today's environment, there may be many, many temptations that come our way, but let us try and ward away those temptations and live within the confines of the Shariat, live within the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with, and inshallah that will become very easy for us. Number three, guide one's private parts. In other words, do not embark on any form of zina whatsoever. Number four, speak the truth and uphold the truth. Speak the truth and uphold the truth at all in all circumstances, and in it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us our salvation. Number five, when we make a pledge, when we make a promise to anyone, then try and fulfill that pledge, try and fulfill that promise. Do not make empty promises, do not make void promises, but try and fulfill the promises. Many occasions, at the time that we are making the promise, we have already decided we are not going to carry out that, and that becomes very difficult insofar as our deen is concerned, and insofar as the sin is concerned. Number six, whenever any guests come to our house, then honor that person. Give the person their due, because our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has attached importance to it. Number seven is not only be kind to one's neighbor, but protect one's neighbor. Become such that we can protect our neighbors from every form of difficulty, every form of calamity, every form of fitna for that matter, and become a protection for our neighbors. And number eight is observe silence, leave useless speech, in other words, speech that is not going to be of any benefit, and useless indulgences, in other words, frivolous indulgences, try and keep away from it. And in this way, he said that these were the qualities that I had, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had loved, and because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted me this position. And the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is al-hikmah. وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Certainly we granted Luqman al-hikmah. And what is hikmah? Now the ulama have explained that this word hikmah comes 20 times in the Qur'an al-Kareem. And each time it comes in the Qur'an al-Kareem, it has a meaning that is slightly different to the next word or the next time that it comes. But in general, we translate it in English as wisdom. It will mean knowledge. It will mean knowledge of the wahi and the revelation that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam of the past. There are those ulama that have explained that when we speak about a speech that is wise, then it is such a speech that when we speak it, it goes directly into the heart of that person. And that person then, after it goes into the heart of that person digests it, he internalizes it, and then he begins to contemplate, and he practices upon it, and that is the best of speeches, and that is the wisest of all speeches. So when we speak to people also, we should try and make this niyat, that whatever we say, it has an effect upon them, and that is the reality of wisdom insofar as speech is concerned. Otherwise, ulama have also explained that this hikmah refers to wisdom, it refers to intelligence, but in all that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had granted it to Hazrat Luqman. Some have said that in wisdom, in the word hikmah, it means that there is absolutely no deficiency in one's understanding of deen. That one doesn't have any deficiency in one's understanding of deen, and one's understanding of deen is not crooked. In other words, it is not perverted. And in this way, the various ulama have given the different explanations of the words of the word al-hikmah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anishkur lillah, become appreciative, become grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, the appreciation and the gratefulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never ever be overemphasized, because the Qur'an al-Kareem itself has emphasized it to such a great extent. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized it to such a great extent that to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, when we look at the words of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he speaks about that person that makes ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only for the reward, then he says that that is like a businessman. A businessman makes an investment and he wants the return. So here is a person making ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is now hopeful of the returns. And of course it comes in a hadith also that one part of our intention should be ihtisaban, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's not make that the ultimate and the total objective when we make the ibadah. Then he says there are a second group of people that make the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only because they are afraid of the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that is like a slave. When a slave is that is owned by someone and that slave knows that he or she does not perform, then obviously the master is going to get upset and there is going to be some form of punitive measures that is going to be meted out. So that is like a slave, and that is also not what Allah wants. But the person that makes ibadah, and his ibadat is making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, it is motivated by the shukr and the appreciation that one shows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that is the ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Like we look at the hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam would stand up in his tahajjud salat, his feet would swell, and Siddiq Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the question that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven, if perchance there was any past sin, or if perchance there was any future sin, that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wiped out. Up front Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the declaration, Allah has made the announcement, then why do you exert yourself so much in the ibadah of Allah? So what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respond? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. By making this ibadah of Allah, shouldn't I become an appreciative servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that ibadat, and in view of the very many ni'mas that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has granted us, let us try and bring about the kind of ibadat in which we offer the gratitude, and it is motivated by the shukr and the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. And whoever is appreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is to his own benefit. He has done so, and he will benefit from the shukr. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. And whoever is unappreciative. And here Allah ta'ala is forthright in a matter of fact, that if a person makes shukr, it is not going to increase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position in any way. But if a person makes kufr, it is not going to decrease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position in any way. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. For certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is independent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praiseworthy. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.